Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about mental health spending and Wellington moving to alert level 2 after a positive COVID-19 case visited from Sydney over the past weekend. And I began by asking him what the levels mean for Parliament.
So the spacing requirements mean that not every MP can sit in their seat when Parliament is sitting, so as every second seat is occupied. So it does mean that some MPs, when Parliament is sitting, particularly at question time and everybody is there, have to sit in the gallery. So it makes that difference. It means that in the lifts, no more than two people in a lift. A lot more mask wearing when people are getting some food from Copperfield, the place where we go and eat, then we've either got to sit down or stand in a 2 metre distanced queue for takeaway sort of stuff. So it changes those sorts of things.
Okay. It's 8:15 so far. Have you received any updates on the testing overnight?
No, haven't. As of yesterday, I think quite a few tests have been carried out of people who were on the aircraft that had flown from Sydney to Wellington, and the close contacts had been tested. We know that all those tests have been negative so far. So I'm not aware of any positive tests having been returned. People will be doing day 5 testing, which I think for people who had contact or were in locations where this chap was in the weekend, that day 5 will be today for some of them and tomorrow for others. So they'll be testing over the next couple of days. Once we get the returns on those tests, when we will know whether or not there's been any infection.
Now, New Zealand for the past year had been going on a hard and early approach to keep COVID-19 out, but Cabinet, for some reason this time, decides to move Wellington to alert level 2 only. Why not to a higher level, just to be a little bit more cautious on this?
Look, we considered that very carefully, and we considered that this person, we knew we knew immediately once he had reported in, got his own positive test when he was back in Sydney, that it was related to the Sydney cluster. He works in Bondi. He works close to the Bondi Junction Centre, where the source of one of the clusters in Sydney at the moment. So we were very confident about that. It's for that reason, even though we haven't got the genome sequencing back yet, we'd be more confident than not that it's likely to be the Delta variant, which is more contagious. So we knew the origin, and he was assiduous in his contact tracing, and in his QR code scanning. So we had very good data straight away on where he had been and the times he had been there. So the contact tracing has been able to be done very easily and very quickly. Also, he has had one dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine. So that typically means that the person is less contagious. So we weighed all those factors and looked at the risks, and we thought we can manage this on an alert level 2 basis as opposed to having to go to alert level 3.
Would the alert levels change if there is a community transmission?
If there's evidence that there has been transmission and the outbreak is bigger, then obviously we will have to reconsider alert levels. But I don't want to get too far ahead on that, and we need to know where things are at with people's testing. But no, those contacts are being contacted now and getting their testing done, and we'll be in a better picture in the next day or so.
Okay. The ASB show grants here in Auckland went into liquidation the past couple of days. Would this affect the vaccination campaign?
No, I don't think so. If that site isn't available for a vaccination centre, there'll be another one made. We'll find another one for the mass vaccination programs. We want those to kick off by the end of next month. We're confident that we will have places where we can do those mass vaccination events.
Okay, moving on to my second topic of the day, it's about mental health. Now, recently a report saying that out of the $1.9 billion that the government promised on mental health 2 years ago, which included $235 million on infrastructure. Five new bids have been delivered so far. That's not really acceptable, is it?
Well, no, well, the story's completely wrong. So you've conflated a number of different things there. So the $1.9 billion program, $1.1 billion is controlled by health. About $800 million is controlled by corrections, education, MSD and others. Within that $1.1 billion, there was $235 million set aside for five specific mental health facility rebuilds or upgrades. It was four rebuilds and one upgrade, significant upgrade. That work is in the planning stages at the moment, so none of that construction work has started. Those rebuilds or upgrades will add to the number of acute beds that we have in our mental health services. So to the extent that there are additional beds added to our acute services over the last few years, that has not been funded out of the $1.9 billion. It has come out of the routine uplift in funding that DHBs get, including what they call the ring-fenced funding for mental health. So some of the funding that the DHBs get every year is ring-fenced mental health funding, meaning that they have to spend that money, or no less than that money, on mental health services. Some DHBs spend a little more, others stick firmly to the ring-fenced funding. It's that funding that has been used by the DHBs in their routine sort of way, responding to the level of demand for their services, who have added some beds to their services. The reality is about acute mental health services is that the number of beds available from 1 year to the next does fluctuate on the margins. It's, you know, within a 10 or a dozen sort of beds, depending on what facilities are getting their routine upgrades, maintenance upgrades, extensions, additions, whatever. So it's a political kind of stunt by someone to pull out those figures and then say it's attached to the $1.9 billion. I mean, there is a National Party narrative around to try to undermine what is happening in mental health services, and they're doing that because their own track record was so abysmal. But they are trying to undermine the impact of the big 2019 investment at $1.9 billion. And in reality, what that investment has done, you know, less than halfway through the 4 to 5 year change program, we've added 520 extra mental health workers, frontline mental health workers, to our mental health services in just the last 2 years alone. And that's in GP clinics, community clinics, youth one-stop shops, Kaupapa Māori Health Services, Pacific Health Services. And that program is continuing. We're adding more people every month providing those frontline services. And we knew, because when we did the review of mental health services, the review said the one big gap that we have is for people with mild to moderate mental health issues who can't get, you know, any meaningful sort of help. That's what we're changing. That's been the priority. We're also doing the stuff in acute services. That's why we've got the rebuild program. But as we know, you know, building brand new buildings for health purposes, and particularly for mental health purposes, it does take time. So, you know, we're still going on there.
Okay. You've recently announced a review into where the $1.9 billion have been held up. When do you expect to hear the results?
I haven't actually announced a review. I've said what I am keen to ensure we do partway through the implementation is make sure that we're achieving what we set out to achieve. So whether it's by way of some sort of review, whether it's through some sort of other measure, what I want, and I think what the public is looking for, is an assurance that what we set out to do in 2019 with that budget is we're actually on track to achieve what we wanted. And so, look, I'm just dealing with the Ministry of Health and a range of other government agencies just on what the best approach is to take towards that. It is about being confident that we are achieving the gains that we set for ourselves.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. If I could